cliffcentral.com.
All right, Toya DeLazy, let's get her in here, Flax. I want to talk to her. I've missed her. Haven't seen her in ages. Missed this woman. Talented beyond belief. You know Toya DeLazy is a very successful singer in South Africa. She's got such cool music. Let me see what I can find here just to play you in case you haven't heard any of her stuff lately. Because she's got a brand new album out and everybody's talking about her new stuff. Let me see what I can find here that's Toya DeLazy's. Should we... My City is fantastic. I'm going to play a little bit of that for you. Just let you hear some of that. Hey, she's coming in. Here she is. Listen to this, Mubs. You know this song, right?
My city, yep.
My city, my city.
How are you, darling?
My city,
nice to see you.
My city, I love my city.
Look at you.
My city, I love my
here she
city.
Is.
My city.
Toya DeLazy is here. Look at you with your hat on. You're just such a funky... You know, every time I see you in a music video or in an interview or whatever, you always look so cool. You always look so chilled and relaxed and like... You're just comfortable in your own skin. You got to teach me how you do that.
Okay.
Yeah, well, we've got a couple of minutes. You can teach me these things.
Okay.
Toya DeLazy, you've got a new album out.
Yeah.
Finally. I know it's been frustrating the hell out of you that you haven't been able to get to it sooner.
Yeah.
Things are going well, huh?
Yeah, things are, I could say, finally falling into place. I guess I'm finally growing into the artist I've always kind of dreamt of when I was, like, you know, performing in the pubs in Durban. And
yeah.
Yeah, you know, like...
It's tough as hell in the music industry.
It gets real, hey? You don't realize when you come in, like, you know.
Yeah.
You're just like a deer in the headlights, and then it kind of gets real, like, a few years in. You kind of realize what's up.
Are you feeling that you say you've become the artist that you've always wanted to be, but
yeah.
Do you feel like you're in a place now where you can do your own thing because you know what you do works? Because there are a lot of situations in this business where you try to people please. You know, you get out on stage or you write a song and you go, I hope this works for everybody else, but you're putting yourself last almost.
Yeah.
And if you're a real artist, you should be all about self-expression and all that stuff. But sometimes that doesn't pay the bills.
True, hey? I won't lie. When I first got into the scene, I mean, I started just performing Love's in the Air, Pump It On, you know, all those songs. And I'm not going to lie. I mean, I love the songs, but after a while you feel stagnant because you'll step out into the scene, you're playing to a backtrack, and you're kind of stuck in that moment in time, and there's a lot of other things that you're writing at the same time. So, yeah, that was tough. I mean, it was exciting for everyone else, but for me as a writer, as a pianist, a producer, I needed to express myself. So Ascension for me was really just me as an artist, expressing my artistry, expressing this new genre I call Jep.
And I like that. I like the name of it, Ascension.
Yeah, Ascension.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I felt like Dewdrop, you know, I get all, you know, metaphoric with all these names. Dewdrop was like, okay... First dewdrop on a fresh blade of grass in the morning, you know, like
it's like the beginning, cleanest, freshest thing in the world.
Yeah.
Right?
And Ascension, I just felt okay, this is the one where, you know, we're rising now, you know, seeing different worlds, traveling, all those experiences, and that's what's happened.
You mentioned those pubs in Durban when you started out.
Yeah.
And it's a long way back now from performing on massive stages in front of thousands and thousands of people.
Yeah.
But do you remember those days when you almost wanted to give up? Because I'm sure you did want to give up at some point. It was hard.
Hmm.
And at the same time, you didn't make a lot of money. There were some very devoted, dedicated fans who probably followed you from pub to pub. And like friends of yours
straight,
and all the rest.
Yeah.
In the beginning, you know, that's how it goes.
Yeah.
But you must have at some point been really disillusioned. Do you sometimes tap into that when you're feeling, you know, like maybe things are hard now and you have to think back to then and go, wow, it's not as hard as it was then?
I'm kind of living it, and it's actually giving me inspiration because I'm in between London and South Africa. I'm working with some songwriters and producers. And I mean, when I started, geez, the rand is low, homie. So, like, this is real. You're going to, like...
The only person who's making money in this country at the moment is Trevor Noah, and he's not in this country. Right?
Yeah, no, fully. Congrats on him, eh?
Yeah.
So, like, it felt the same. Jeez, you get a beer for $80. Like, it's not even like you can, like, step out of the situation you're in, and, you know, you go to your first show, and there's, like, three people there. The third one's drunk, you know, no, like, it's a tough vibe. But then, you know, I started, I think, 4 months ago, and now I'm starting to see familiar faces. I'm starting to hit other sorts of gigs, and it's reminding me a lot of the pub vibe, you know, like, you know, where you actually get to connect with the audience. And I really miss that, like having intimate vibes, connecting. And then,
because when you're up on a big stage in front of thousands of people,
yeah,
it's very hard to make that connection. It's just a crowd.
Yeah.
You know, when
they,
you
just
can actually
hit.
See, when
yeah.
you could see the faces,
mm-hmm.
and you can actually kind of take something, some energy from them. That's quite a cool feeling.
Yeah, I know it is. I miss that. Yeah. I think that's a very important part of especially my music.
So let's talk about you in the beginning, because I don't think we've been down this road properly.
Okay.
I mean, you were born into, like, you're royalty, really. I mean,
yeah.
you know, you've got to own that.
Whether
it's a popular or modern idea, or whether it's something that's quite cool.
Mm.
I was talking to a guy the other day who's quasi royalty, and
okay.
he was talking about how he feels like it's a burden because people say to him, you know, very traditional, very rural people
mm.
are almost over the top respectful. And he feels awkward around people that he knows from the city
mm.
who, when he's around the rural people with them, these people are fawning over him and, mm. and like, and praising him essentially for his lineage. And he feels like it's a bit of an awkward thing. Do you get some of that?
I get a lot of that in Mahlabathini.
Mm.
It's hard because I can't even go to the bathroom there.
Hmm.
And it's not even like my family or anyone's going to bail me out because they're royal too. But like,
yeah.
it's just with the Toya de Lazy as well. It just, you know, yeah, it just gets overboard. But
because you've got a combo of modern fame
yeah.
and like old school, traditional yeah. royal respect, you know.
It's been crazy, hey, trying to balance that because I'm in a global space now. So I've grown in so many ways from, you know, La Toya, that used to be from Mahlabathini. So
but
I've got. Yeah.
How was your childhood growing up in, you know, I mean, you weren't like in the king's family, but you're in
yeah.
his. You're related to him.
Yeah,
and you've
my
got
uncle.
Your grandfather is Mangosuthu Buthelezi.
Yes, yes.
Who's of course a well-known politician, but also, you know, he's a prince.
Yeah.
So, what's your title?
Princess.
You're a princess.
Yeah.
So what happens when you grow up as a princess?
Well,
are you allowed to have commoners as friends?
I think this is where I kind of chose my own route.
Yeah.
I didn't feel like it was enough to be born into a royal family and just think, okay, this is it. I'm better than everyone else. I really wanted to find my own path, and this was music. So, I mean, ever since getting educated and meeting people, honestly, from different countries and, you know, getting into the city,
yeah.
I found myself, and like, you know, with all this education, you realize your self-worth doesn't come just from your lineage. I mean,
but it's cool. I mean, I want to know what's different about growing up royal,
okay.
especially in the Zulu royal family, because that's a big deal.
Just a lot of people bowing around you, and yeah, it's like a hierarchy in itself. It's
what kinds of things happen to you when you're a kid in a royal household growing up? What sort of, do you have people waiting on you hand and foot in terms of providing you with everything you need before you even have to ask for it?
Well, my family's a bit more strict, eh? Like, they kind of teach you to do your own ish, if I could put
sure.
it that way. But when I was younger, I mean, I traveled a lot with my granddad. He used to work between Cape Town and Pretoria, so I was like there sitting in the cockpit with the pilots and stuff.
Wow.
So I had some cool experiences, which I think many kids didn't have.
Did you have to dress up
and
go to royal events all the time?
Yeah, proper.
So what kind of outfits would you have on then? Very traditional stuff?
No. My grandmother dressed me up proper. She's quite a fashionista. So,
oh, yeah?
Yeah, no, I was very well-dressed.
Like
but
what?
It was dresses.
Tell me about the outfits.
Eish, okay, of course, the frilly socks. polka dot dress, you know. Maybe a bit of a tiara vibe.
Oh.
But it's not me. You know, eventually you grow up and, you know, I'm quite a tomboy.
Yeah. But you're very, you've got style. You've got your own very personal, very kind of stamp of Toya de Lazy style.
Oh, thanks. I'm glad it comes across.
Must be a grandmother's influence, right?
Yeah, she's okay with my style right now. It must be, hey? And my mother as well. She was actually the one with the most style. She traveled a lot and, Yeah, everyone used to like stare at her when she walked into a room.
Are there traditional members of your family, particularly older men,
yeah.
who don't think it's appropriate that you do pop music and that you appear in kind of, you know, sleeveless tops and,
no.
and hats and like strange things. There's no one who disapproves?
No, not at all. I mean, the first time I wore pants, like it was a Christmas gift. Well, I was giving my granddad a Christmas gift, and at the bottom of his card, I was like, P.S. I hate dresses. Like, just so he knew. And the next day I went to church wearing trousers and he didn't say anything. So we kind of like, you know, cleaned that out. And, you know, it always has to come from, you know, the leaders. Mm. Like, you know, if they acknowledge who you are and who you've become, it's like it filters down to everyone else. And it's like, okay, this is dope. Let's move on.
Do you feel like there's still a place for monarchy in modern society, especially in this country where we believe in democracy and everybody's equal and all the rest of it? And you hear about your uncle, King Goodwill Zwelithini, and the kind of changes he's expected to make to the royal household and all the rest of it. Do you think there's still a place for the monarchy?
Well, definitely in the in the areas like KwaZulu-Natal and places where, you know, people have, you know, grown up around this culture, like the Zulus have a powerful influence, you know. So, I mean, some things that could be changed, they can change. It's just about, you know, them growing and introducing new ways, you know, as the world is changing, how to, you know, I often speak about LGBT, I speak about a lot of things. So I'm hoping, like, as we grow, there's going to be ways that they're going to accommodate different people into the society and, you know, we're going to grow with it.
How often do you see the king?
I saw him actually a month ago for a museum opening.
All right.
Yeah.
Now, how are you meant to greet him? Because he's family, but, you know, he's still a king.
Yeah, no, I just gave him a handshake. And
really, that's it?
Chat. Yeah.
We don't have to bow and scrape?
No, not scrape. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I missed the memo, man. See, maybe I've gotten modernized.
If you met him as just an ordinary commoner, because you are Zulu, but you're a commoner.
Yeah.
How would you have to greet the king?
I'd probably have to, you know, just crawl on all fours from like a kilometer away.
Yeah. You know. Right.
No, you're right.
Just make a note. Look at her. She says, "You're right, commoner. Get back to your level, basic person."
Do you have to attend any, or did you, before you were kind of all over the world and doing, you know, pursuing your own career, when you were still very much part of the family and you had to do family duties?
Yeah.
And many people in the family still do. Did you have to attend all the big ceremonies, all those functions?
Yeah, I mean, it would be nice if I attended, but I don't think anyone cared if I was there or not.
Oh, really? They didn't. There was no pressure?
No, not really. I mean, I'd go probably with my mom, like to like King Shaka's Day, you know, Heritage Day.
Now that's got to be cool, because when you think of the history of the Zulu nation, I mean, I learnt about this when I was at school.
Yeah.
And you've got all these ancestors from, you know, Dingiswayo and Chwayo and all the rest of them.
Nice.
There's just some amazing history there, and some real weight and gravity of history. Like you can't just. Zulu history is full of like war and conquest and pride.
Eclipses, the blood moon.
Hell yes.
Sandlwana. Yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting what happened.
Is it fun to learn about that stuff when your family's actually the ones involved in the story?
Actually, Gareth, like I just got into it. I got this like CD called the Blood Moon, and it's basically about, you know, how the British actually had the war of their lives, actually the most damaging war during their colonialistic vibes, and it was against the Zulus, and it basically influenced everything else that was to follow. So,
have you been to the battlefields?
Yeah, no, I was there.
Sandlwana and Rorke's Drift.
Rorke's Drift, yeah, I was there.
Amazing, right?
It's incredible. It's incredible.
We've got such a beautiful history in this country. And, and what sometimes disturbs me is that modern politicians want to rewrite history in some ways. They want to accept certain parts of history and throw away others.
Much like the Bible, isn't it?
Of course. And the conqueror always gets to decide. And for years, Zulu history was considered less important than, say, Afrikaner history.
Yeah.
And now Afrikaner history is being put on the back burner and modern politicians are trying to get some of the glory.
Okay.
But actually, it's all part of our story.
Yeah. I don't know how to say. All I know is that what I'm learning now is like, it's mind-blowing because now I am in England and I'm, you know.
Yeah.
And to actually understand what happened between us, you know, well, between the British and the Zulu. And now to be in this space and I'm like singing these modern songs. And
well, your great-great-grandfather, I think it is, Chwayo.
Yes.
He went to London to meet Queen Victoria.
Yeah.
I mean, that's now 100 and something years ago.
Yes.
But that was a seminal moment. You know, she met him as a fellow monarch at a time when really black people and white people were not considered the same by Europeans. They had a huge superiority complex. But she met him as a fellow monarch and treated him as much.
You know,
he was regarded as a visiting head of state.
Yeah, he has there's a palace there that he stayed at in Tower Hill.
Correct.
And it's like, you're dazzling.
And people forget about this stuff. Yeah. This is 100 years ago.
Yeah.
Obviously, apartheid came after that, and all the other kinds of discrimination were very much alive at the time.
Yeah.
But here was a very proud black man, a king, who went over to England and was treated as a king. And it's hard to figure that out. And for me, or for anybody else who studies history, to imagine that time.
Fully, yeah. I mean, yeah, because actually I thought he was imprisoned. Wasn't he imprisoned first in Santa Elena?
Correct. There's a whole lot of really, really interesting stuff that happened to your family during that time.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, going back all the way to Shaga and Dingaan and Bande and all the rest of them, this is the basis, the starting point, the focal point of the Zulu used to be a smaller tribe.
Yeah.
And who was it? The Mtetwa tribe?
Yeah.
The were a much bigger tribe, but the Zulu ended up kind of subsuming, and taking over.
Yeah. And then it just carried on and on and on. No, I mean, our history is bloody. I won't lie, but it's powerful as well. It's it's exciting. When I think of, you know, where I'm from, sometimes, as you say, do you want to give up? It's like there is that thing inside me where I'm like, yo, I am from the space, you know. Maybe I don't share the same traditional values anymore, but...
But you own it. It's like part of you, right?
Yeah, you follow your dream. Like, so, yeah, there's not pressure to conform and all that stuff. Because you try sometimes. Oh, you see people doing things. You're like, hey, let me join. But it's not your space, you know.
So what do you do at times like Christmas? You go back and spend it with the family?
I did, I think last year. And then sometimes I'll go overseas and have Christmas there with my partner's family, rather.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, tell me, because this LGBT is a massive thing as well. I mean, in traditional society, there's still a lot of people who don't like this.
Yeah.
Who don't feel comfortable about it.
Fully, yeah.
And you've got a partner.
Yeah.
Who's a girl.
I've got a partner.
Right.
Yeah.
But the point is that people don't necessarily all understand this. And it's still, everybody pretends they're all cool with it. But there are a lot of people who just don't get it. Doesn't that frustrate you?
I think what I write about, as you asked about the music, I write about loving forbidden fruit or, you know, things like that. Like, maybe people don't understand the music now, but basically it's music of our time. I think of, like, back in the day when the forbidden fruit of the time was white people and black people hanging out. That was not allowed.
Yep.
And now we're in an age where we're speaking about marijuana. We're like, yo, should we legalize it yet? We speak like, okay, are gay people weirdos? Are they stupid? Or what's going on? Should we kill them?
Yeah.
You know, so we're in a time where it's, yeah, this is the forbidden fruit of our time. So I guess education through music is something that's been in me, like, I guess, from my great-grandmother, who was also challenging gender roles.
Oh, was she?
Yeah,
tell me about that.
So she became a praise singer, and usually the praise...
Male.
Yeah, it's male. Place, so, yeah. But she took that and she ran with it, you know, and she did it really well.
But she probably only got away with that because she was royal.
I wonder, and that's a good thing, because
sure,
of that...
you said earlier, the leaders have to set the agenda,
yeah,
right?
Fully, yeah.
Fully. So did people immediately think that this was unacceptable, and then she changed their minds?
I think it influenced a lot, because even my mom, I think when she was growing up, she started singing praises, and I've seen a lot of women do that, and it's beautiful to see. So I think she definitely, you know, opened up society to see these things, because for a society to grow, like, you can't be holding people back on the things that form the fabric of their existence, you know, because then we're not real. We're not real to ourselves, and we can't, like, perform to our full capacity. So, like, as a Zulu, like, I think it's important, like, for my people, if I can put it that way.
Sure.
Accept each other. Like, this is the society we live in, and I feel like people should understand that. And if there are ways for us to celebrate each other's existence, I think we should rather move towards that than destroying and hurting each other.
We're definitely moving in the right direction. I mean, you can feel it, but there's still places where, you know, a lot of very old, backward ideas seem to take hold.
It's religious as well. Like, I don't mean to toss that in, but, you know...
Are you religious?
I can't say I am. I'm spiritual.
Okay.
But I think my love for religion dwaned a bit when I, you know, there's too much contradiction, you know, like, you'll follow one person and they'll say this and then they'll say that and then people get outcasted. And a crazy thing that happened in London, I was performing one of my songs, like Jai Lover, and I'm like into it, next thing I'm like Jehovah, and then like I realized there was a vibe but people are dancing. But then after the show this guy comes up to me like, okay, well, people around here, like, we love you, we love the music, but it's just like when you sing about certain things you put people into a certain group, and for them Jehovah meant judgment.
Uh-oh.
And I was like, well, I didn't know, guys, you know, for me it means something totally different. But you know, you learn to understand what religion actually means, well, to the bigger world. I'm not saying like I'm denouncing it, but like, yeah, man,
it's done a lot of damage. Let's not mess around. I mean, it separates people rather than brings them together.
Sadly,
a lot of people say, oh no, it brings people together. No, it doesn't, because it separates them into camps. And then they just, in many cases, people just want to get on with their lives. But in a few cases, people actually go, you're wrong, I'm right. And there is judgment.
Yeah, no, fully. It's so complicated, because when I look at this, like, I wasn't always Toyota Lazy now that can fly all over the place. I was a kid, literally just a Zulu girl who could have just gone the same way and waited for someone to bring some cows home and, you know, stuck to that life. And, you know, when you're poor, I can say I was poor at that time, you know, my mom... She was a humble person, you know. She worked for my granddad.
Yeah, being royal doesn't mean necessarily
you're rich.
Tons of money. Yeah, there are lots of royal families all over the world that are actually living from hand to mouth because, although they come from a line of really illustrious people, they don't have a lot of cash.
Fully.
Yeah,
and
sure.
God, I can say God was relevant. I mean, when you've got nothing, it's nice to believe in something that might just happen. You know, like you believe that, hey, it might just work out for me. And, you know, you've got something that keeps you together.
Is there a small part of you that's a little bit disappointed that someone didn't bring a whole lot of cows home and marry you and kind of take you away to a rural existence?
Well, okay, let me talk. When you're there, it's kind of glamorous. You know, the whole family will be there. Someone's getting some cow cash.
Right,
you know,
plus,
like,
you live a very simple life. You don't have to worry about things. I sometimes envy very simple, and I don't mean this as some kind of patronizing thing, but there's a simplicity to that rural life where you live happily, you live healthily. You've got your...
I don't know about healthily. Yeah.
Well, you know, most of the people who grow their own food and kind of, you know, you're far from hospitals and things, so that kind of health obviously is not... is not as much of a priority.
It's complex, Gareth. It's really complex.
Tell me.
I don't know, man. It's just like somebody has to do it. That's how I feel. Like, unless if there weren't any women that are allowed to do certain things, like, girls just end up in the same positions and they never aspire to anything more because, okay, this is the existence. And if you do step out of it, it's like you lose everyone. I don't know why. Maybe it's like they feel threatened.
Sacrifice.
But it's big, you know. Mm. You lose your culture in a way. You lose who you once were and you just have to keep going.
But that's what I like about you, is you're like a contradiction in terms in so many ways, because you embody both this enormous history and this very modern approach to the world.
Oh, yeah.
And you're up on stage and you're singing such funky, cool, modern, amazing stuff that could not have existed 5 to 10 years ago. It couldn't. the stuff that you're putting out now is very different to the stuff you were doing 5 years ago.
No, fully.
And you're embracing the future and change and all of this stuff.
Yeah.
And obviously with modern technology comes a lot of exciting new prospects.
Yeah.
But at the same time, deep down inside, you know, you've got this grandfather who's one of the longest serving MPs in South African history.
Fully.
Does he do long speeches or what?
Oh, man.
Please tell me at family functions he didn't start talking and you sat there 3 days later and he still hadn't finished.
Oh, no. No. I would have bounced. Like, no, he doesn't. I saw that on a Chappie's rapper and I asked him about it and he explained. He was like, listen, it was over a few days and it was because I was introducing with people, et cetera, et cetera. So I was like, okay, cool. I just wanted to know.
He has the record for the longest, he has the record for the longest speech in history in Parliament.
In any parliament. Couple of days.
It took about 4 days.
Apparently, bro. It was like an address. He was addressing the parliament. Yeah. And it was over a few days, guys. This is the thing. It wasn't all at once.
That is a long ass, legendary.
A long ass speech, let me tell you something.
My granddad can speak. Mm. I mean, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
What am I doing with my life?
Hey, Fitz.
Well, please believe me. If you were doing 4 day speeches, I wouldn't hire you.
I think let's start that. Let the Monday weekly report be like 3 days.
See, have you ever met members of the royal family besides Toy DeLazy?
No, not yet.
No.
You see, did you get a house at yet? Hint, nudge, nudge.
Right. Yeah, fully. Guys, I should invite you to the Festival of Tit, but down it's not called that.
The Festival of Tit. Is that the reed dance?
Yeah, but okay. Like...
Festival of Tit. Do you have to bear your tits at the Festival of Tit?
No. I'm an onlooker.
Oh, okay.
Spotted any
talent there? Because the king sometimes is the one who spots all the talent and nobody else is allowed to comment.
What do you mean by talent?
I just mean like really good-looking women. There must be some in the crowd.
Of course. Yeah. Zulu women are gorgeous.
Sure. Absolutely.
But like, you know, when you're there, it's not as, nasty.
It's not a sexual thing.
Yeah,
it's not a sexual thing, but I got you. Yeah.
It's become different for me though now. I don't know why. Maybe because I've traveled.
Yeah.
Like, it's, you know, I know the culture and all, but like...
Yes.
Okay, never mind.
No. Finish that thought. But now you're able to appreciate it almost with an outsider's view.
Yeah, with an outsider's view. Yeah.
Okay, I got you. Yeah. So tell me about this new album. Tell me about the new song.
The new album, new song. Ascension.
Mm-hmm.
Is this the one? Yeah, Ascension. Yeah. Jeez, I was traveling a lot, eh? I'd now left this life of, you know, Dewdrop, you know, after you guys saw me come into the scene.
Yep.
And I think I was focusing on myself as well. Like, a lot of things happened. Like, when I got into the scene, I literally was thrown into it. Like, from a pub to a stadium. Don't expect that to sound all right, man. And I must say, I mean, I experienced a lot with that. Like, many people had a lot to say, et cetera, et cetera. And I think with Ascension, I just took the time to focus on me and... you know, figure out what I want to do.
Didn't you just open the Eco Mobility Festival yesterday?
That was yesterday, right? Yeah, that was yesterday.
How did that go?
That went well. That went really well. I mean, despite that, there was like a handful of people. They all ended up gathering up in the front and they liked the vibe. Yeah.
I don't think people have bought into this yet, but I think I think the Premier and the Mayor of Johannesburg are very smart to do it.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's cool. And ultimately, we're going to realize that this is the way of the future. We can't have 75,000 cars.
I'm totally with it.
A day in Sandton City. It's crazy, right?
Just nobody imagines it yet. But like, I mean, everywhere else in Africa, Malawi, I was there like a week ago. Everyone's on a bicycle or something like that. But I don't know if it's by choice or... Eco Mobility, but it works, you know. Although you keep dodging people on the road, hoping you don't hit anyone, but yeah.
Let me just look at this quickly. You studied, you got a degree in jazz piano.
Jazz pianist, yeah.
Wow. You also can dance, obviously. You're a performer of aplomb. But you were nominated in the Best International Act for Africa at the BET Awards in 2013.
I was.
And you didn't win that, but you were nominated. So who won? Who do we have to knock out of that spot for the next
Of course,
time?
Nigeria. And I'm saying that in the least harsh way.
There's just more people, right?
Yeah, there's just more people.
And more people
voted.
It's
popular there.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Now, what was it? Because it's now a couple of years later, so the wounds aren't so raw. But losing your mom in 2008 in that car accident must have been as tough as hell for you. You sound like you were really close to her.
Yeah, I was. I really was. How was it?
No, I don't mean how was it. It was obviously horrible.
Yeah.
But how do you cope? Because a lot of people have to cope with this. I mean, losing your parents is something we'll all eventually have to deal with, right?
Yeah.
But to lose them in such a tragic way, to lose your mom who was so close to you, it must have been very, very difficult. How did you get through that, especially when you have to go up on stage and perform, when you have to just carry on, people have paid you to come and do gigs, and you have to pretend everything's all right? You can't just cancel stuff for 3 months.
Yeah, so how did it... I guess I just wrote music. I think this is when I realized that music was a soothing outlet for me. And I guess all those songs that were sad, I kind of wrote them in a positive way. And honestly, like, it turned out into a very positive thing at the end. So I guess that's how I coped with it. But I mean, it still comes back, man. Like, with all the success, you can't really fill that hole. And there's moments where you're just like, yo, it would be nice to have moms right now. You know, it would be nice to experience this with her. But you know what? I'm looking forward to building my own family.
But did she... We'll get to that in a second, starting your own family. Did she get to see you in the prime of your success?
No,
because
no,
that's what's sad, right? You wish she could have been there for that.
Yeah, pity. She didn't get to see that. I was way too shy, Gareth. Like, I'm a polar opposite of who I used to be. I was quiet. I was super shy. I would never actually stand in public. Like, and I totally just...
Did she know this is what you wanted to do?
I told her. She laughed.
So
but
she
like not in
sure
a mean way. She was like, "What you gonna do?" And the way she said it, so you know, like, I was always shy of showing my talent to my family. Mm. Like, I don't think I've actually sang a lot for them, because I always felt like, I don't mean it in a bad way, but nobody really saw it as a way to live. You know,
yeah.
You know, so yeah, that's the irony of this whole thing.
So the rest of the family must have also been surprised when you suddenly turned up on the charts and you suddenly had, like, hit singles and you were performing in music videos and stuff, huh?
Yeah, no, everyone was like, what? But, you know, they still...
How did this happen?
They still supported. But, of course, when I started, like, they were like, what are you going to eat? That was the first question, you know? And, sure. You know, like, that's when you realize you got to push your own dream. You can't actually change yourself for other people, because at the end of the day, it is your life, you know? And it is my choice, and I'm not going to change your choices.
All right, so now talk to me about that statement you made just now. This is pretty profound. You're starting up your own family kind of thing, where you're moving ahead. Now tell me about this. What does this mean?
It's this whole mentality I'm on, man. It's like, I believe you don't, like, you create your life.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what I've found. Like, yes, you got given this life. It is what it is. There's certain things about you that are what they are. And from there, you just create a life that's good for you. And that's what I'm hoping for, man. I'm hoping
what
to have a family.
What kind of future do we envisage for you?
Oh, man. Let's work a little bit harder. I'd love to perform on international stages as well. Mm-hmm. But then, of course, then comes love, then comes marriage, then comes...
baby carriage, or whatever it is. Right. Okay,
yes.
So have we found love?
I can say that I found love.
That's lucky.
It's beautiful.
A lot of people don't find that. They settle for something and they're not sure if it's the right thing. And they kind of, you know, they'll try their hand at it and it doesn't always work. And
no, it doesn't.
Do you think this is the one?
Kiss a few frogs. I'm dead sure. I feel it. Yeah, I know. When you can deal with someone and, you know, you don't just walk away when it gets tough, you know, and you actually grow. I think... Like, what do you feel like, Gareth? Like, couples nowadays...
It's harder. It's harder than ever before because there's so much going on. There's the internet. There's social media. There's so much more pressure in relationships than there ever was.
Yeah?
Don't you think?
How so?
Well, because people used to get married. It was for life. And you kind of had to take it really, really seriously. You'd have kids together. These days, I don't know that very many people under the age of 35 even think about marriage as a necessity.
They kind
of think of, you know, being with someone, and if you cohabit with them, I hate that word because it sounds so clinical, but you live with them, and when you're not with each other anymore, then you move on. It's not as serious a thing, and really people have started to look to themselves, and you sort it out, you figure out what you want, and you do it that way. Do you agree?
I'm in a different space, you know, like, I'm in a couples that work together. I find myself, I'm in that society now where I don't know if it's like that for, like, all couples.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for instance, in heterosexual couples, like, the guy will do his own thing and the girl will do her own thing.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I've found, like, in LGBT couples, usually they combine and they work together and it becomes, like, more than just, like, a project on your own. Like, you combine your skills and it's, like, you push together towards something.
You don't work with your partner, though.
No. Well,
you're talking about the relationship, but not your actual work.
Well.
She doesn't work with you in your music.
Well,
Or does she?
It's complicated to explain. I'm just saying, like, I've seen this, like, with a lot of my friends that are in the industry. Mm-hmm. And, like, even with myself, like, it works better that way. I mean, only if the skills are there, though. You can't, like, work with somebody who's got no knowledge at all. For example, Tall Ass Mo and his wife.
Mm.
Like, I think that's what I'm trying to say. Our generation
more
combines the work together, and like you push together and you make it something.
Isn't there a danger if you do that? If you work together and you're romantically involved, isn't there a danger that you could lose the romance
everything.
And then everything else falls down?
Hey man, there are hard times. It's not a lie. It's not for everybody. I mean, people have tried it, but when it does work out, I think you go for it, eh? Like, and you always got to keep it going, man. You got to have the holidays after long, like, after, like,
all
achievements.
I'm saying, you don't want to get home every day after work. And especially if you've been in studio or you've been performing.
Yeah.
And then all you talk about is work afterwards.
Hey, but it is what it is. It is what it is. I think with the peeps that I know these days that surround me, other couples that are working together, it becomes...
No, you just did
a project.
Didn't you just do a song with Tall Ass Mo?
Yeah, Zulu Turn Up.
There we go. Right. Maybe we should play that just now.
Ooh.
Tell me about the kids thing. You want to have kids?
Oh, yeah, man, for sure. I mean, not now.
No,
but
no.
Probably...
One day.
Soon, man. Don't you think it's cool? Do you have kids?
I don't have kids.
Not yet?
No, my brother has a little boy, and I think...
Uncle.
I like kids, but I don't want one. Does that make sense?
Yeah, man. Each to his own.
It's
I totally
just,
understand.
It's a
makes
huge
sense.
Responsibility.
But it's also nice. I think.
I think you'd be a good mother.
Oh, thank you.
I think you would. No, you seem to me to be very... Your feet are firmly on the ground. You know what you've got to do.
Yeah.
You probably are more capable than a lot of people I've met of putting other people's needs ahead of your own.
Oh, wow. Humbled, man.
And that's what... But that's what a mom needs to do, right?
Yeah.
It's the toughest job in the world. Mubs doesn't want kids. I don't want kids. Right, Mubs?
Well, I would be a terrible mother because I have a lot of problems and there's no reason why I should bring another human being into that toxic situation.
I don't mean to say problems as
a... Well, I'm...
she's mentally ill. Completely.
Yes, that's that. Yeah. I have I have issues.
Yeah.
It's
but how does that affect you being a mom?
it would just be a very unstable environment to raise a young child in.
I think you're being hard on yourself. They've said many things are unstable. They've said...
Yeah, she's very hard on herself.
That's so heavy.
But, oh, shame. Yeah, just hold her hand and make her feel better about the world. The world is not so bad.
I am an aunt, so, you know, I take care of my brother's kids and my sister's kids every now and again, which is cool. But it's such a big responsibility, though, being a parent, which is what I'm learning from observing parents around me. And, it's scary.
Yeah, that's the truth. I won't act like it's not. Yeah.
Melissa says on WeChat, losing a mother is the worst pain, and having her not there to share the special moments with is so horrible. I understand. So, obviously, Melissa's been through a similar situation. I mean,
oh, man. Thanks, Melissa.
You reckon your mom would be very proud of where you are now?
I think she would, hey? She really would.
I think that's great. If you can have that feeling to kind of make you... It's almost
at
like
least,
it's almost like you've got an ally who's kind of in the spirit world helping you along, you know? She's on your side.
Yeah.
Is that how you feel about her?
I really do. I mean, even when it happened, like, I knew that we wouldn't be separated by this. Like, I think of it all the time. So it's easy to speak about it because I don't want to remember the scene, but it's just that energy that she was open-minded. She was just so different. She traveled, and I feel like I'm following in those footsteps, and it might not be as understood, but... It's brought me so much joy.
Well, listen, princess. it's a pleasure to have you here this morning.
Oh, thank you, Gareth.
We're huge fans of your work.
Thank you.
Please keep on delivering amazing music to us because it's just so special and different to anyone else.
Are we?
And keep spreading the name. Go far and wide and let the rest of the world know about your talent and about South Africa.
Oh, no, definitely.
You could become the Trevor Noah of the music world. You can export us internationally.
I will. Thanks for
love. Are you spending any time overseas in the next couple of months?
Yes, I'm actually going to be early November.
Yeah.
I'll be back. You know, got to keep on working. There's been a lot of traveling, eh? I've had like five commercial flights.
Where are you going next?
No, I'm London. I'm still there.
Ah.
But apparently the weather's getting nasty now.
Well, London is nasty, full stop. So it's nice.
No, it's really nice, though.
There's nothing there that you Come want, on. Especially this time of year. Please, do me a favor.
I'm loving it, though. They're showing me love.
Horrible idea.
Oh, Gareth, come on.
No. All right, let me get some Zulu turn up going here. I like this. I'm going to see if I can find the right version, though.
Don't worry. Don't play the dirty.
What? Oh, wait. We've got it. I've got the right one right here. Don't worry, I'm organized. I've got it all. Hang on, baby. It's right here. All right, there we go. Toya DeLazy, everybody. What a beautiful human being. What a pleasure to have you here this morning.
Oh, thank you. Very, very cool.
Here it is. Toya DeLazy, Zulu Turn Up featuring Tall Ass Mo, baby. And you have an excellent week.
Thank you.
Thank you, Toya.
Thanks for having me.
Pleasure.
So Toya DeLazy, you wanna rap now, okay?
Damn straight.
I've been doing this for a long time. I'll back you up.
Sure.
Toya, my money's the flow.
Okay.
Some people have passed, some people do not. At the end of the day, we put up what we got.
Yeah, come out and slay all the dogs on the block.
I'm calling the shots, you're feeling the
blood. I've been fighting for the system, finding my rhythm. This is the comeback out of the seed, and I stand for equality. Some call it treason. I'm the Mandela, yeah, I break your knees.
CliffCentral.com.